accession number 29894, reel 4.
Elizabeth Small, reel 4. Yes, you were telling me about these very interesting people and how George Noble would meet the wireless operators in Orchard Court.
Yes, or where they were being trained. All the agents, wireless or ordinary agents, were sent to training schools for various periods of time.
Were you told where these were?
Only by number. Number one. It was not until after the war that I even found out where they were. But they were, of course, the officers went to see them at their training school, and that if they had to come to London, they went to Orchard Court. Never to the office. So George Noble, alias Begay, was in charge of the wireless operators, and of course they have to send, they have a schedule, and they have to send their messages at certain times. Those messages go to, again, a school, which I'm not even sure, I think it was near Aylesbury, but I can't remember, whatever number. And the messages were decoded by people in the Fannies, because they were the ones who worked mostly for us, because they were outside the normal army rules and regulations as to fighting, for instance. There was quite a lot of trouble about what uniform an agent should be when they were in this country. But the women were in Fannies, and the army and the men were mostly army, like George Begay was in a British Army uniform. These messages came in by the time they'd been decoded, by the time an agent had done the Morse code, probably in difficult circumstances, in hiding, in an attic or wherever, they rarely came to us as they were meant to. They were spoiled, if that's the right word, had what with one thing and another, and so you had to try and read them and get some sense out of them, but above all not to have to ask them to repeat, which would mean they were on the air longer. Because the Germans were extremely well equipped to pinpoint anybody sending, came up sending Morse. They had a detection for finding apparatus, and between them they could pinpoint where they were. So all the rules for the, I think they were, it was the most dangerous of any agent, but for the wireless officer said the rules were: be quick, don't be too long sending, have it readily coded, and then shut up your transmitter, because wherever they were endangering whoever was giving them security, whatever house they were in. And these sets were enormous, I mean heavy to carry, and heavy to dispose of. And if they were they would advise to not send messages from too many from the same place, move, and of course that required moving the set, passing through controls, or whether you were on a bicycle with half of them, or Sometimes they would, one would have help from one of the men who would take part of the wireless, and somebody else take another in two bits, and then meet someplace. It was extremely difficult because it was nothing. There was nothing very, very like we see today. I mean, as I say, it was like a big suitcase. There's pictures have been put.
Yes,
in.
I have seen them.
I'm sure you have seen them.
In so many films.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, were you aware of all this at the time, Mrs. Small? You know about the difficulty of the agents.
Yes.
Did you relate to them as
yes.
people?
Yes. Yeah? Yes, terribly. Mm. In fact, we all did. We worried about them as if they were, well, they were our family. I'm talking now of the WT operators especially, because we were hearing from them, and they were the ones that were sending the messages from their organizer or whatever, and you know, we would so and so's come up again, and they're all right. And George Noble was a wireless expert, and I mean, he had his own set in the office, and he would, if he was worried about somebody not coming up when they were expected to on the air, he would put on everything, everyone would be quiet, and he would sit in a corner and just listen. Sometimes he would say, he would stop and say, all right, okay, don't bother anymore. And I said, how can you tell? Oh, he said, with Morse, everyone has, it's like handwriting, everyone has their own way. So that so-and-so, for instance, can't do his B's or P's or something. And so you know that, or they're hesitant over so-and-so. But you know, therefore you know if it's the person you're hoping to get hold of that's come up. It's a very dicky question. Of course, Morse has stopped now, but in those days there was all that was the only communication. Of course, the other communication was by Lysander pickup, because after. Well, I'd been with George Noble for quite a time, and we got on very, very well. We had one exciting moment where he came back and was entirely not himself. He said, "Do you know what I've seen? I've seen in Oxford Street." A Frenchman in uniform. I know him. He's in goalless uniform. He was one of the ones that tortured me when they caught me. And I'm going to get him. And I know where he's gone. And he had gone round to one of the Gaul's headquarters in Duke Street, which wasn't far away. And he opened his the desk drawer and pulled out a revolver, and off he shot. And I jumped up, and I can't remember which officer I went to. I said, quick, George is going to assassinate somebody at Duke Street. We were in contact with Duke Street, but always wary, because there was an awful lot of trouble with the Gaullists. And they didn't like us because they thought we were on their territory. Well, we were, you see. And so there was animosity on both sides. Anyway, the officer caught George in time and brought him back, and nothing was done. And then afterwards, the other officer said to me, well, I'm glad we got him in time, because he's just about to be put up for the MC, and he was, and he got it, and he really was pleased about that. It was marvellous. He almost had a little tear when he was told he was getting the MC for his work. I lost him at the end of the war because he went to America, so we didn't keep in contact, but he was a great man.
Did he do anything about this Golis chap, though, who tortured him? Was he working for the Germans when he tortured him, or was it more...
Well, Vichy, of course.
Vichy, yes.
Vichy, people were almost more dangerous than the Germans, because, they knew the French and where they might be, and they were really rather more difficult than some of the Germans, because they knew the country, they knew what was going, you know, it wasn't so difficult for them. Those are the ones to be careful of, all to be careful of, but to be suspicious of were the Vichy French. I mean, not all were like that, but they were. I mean, Pétain, Vichy, and of course Laval, they hung him at the end. He was hung at the end of the war. Anyway, we are going diverging.
You didn't tell me about the Lysanders. You said you
yes.
were...
Yes, yes, because there was one I should say, one thing. They started sending women... wireless operators, and they found that they were very good. They were perhaps more more precise in their coding and the times that they should come up, perhaps, than some of the men. And it was a great success. And one person especially, and I admired her tremendously, and because I could read her telegrams, even though they were false, I could read them. And I said, isn't it amazing that she, because she's got a little daughter, and she's left her, I think she was age 4 then, in a convent, and at Christmas they said, well, there's a little job for you, Elizabeth, go and buy a doll at Selfridges and pack it up and send it. And I did. And I, after the war, met
her. What was her name? Her real name?
Yes, well, that I've spent nearly all night trying to remember, because, of course, I've got it down and all her things.
Violette Szabo.
You know, Szabo wasn't a wireless operator. No. I know the code name, it was Annette, and I know that the operational name was Fairy.
Fairy
was the operational name. But she was so well known.
No, don't worry about
no,
it.
No, I did, because...
You'll think about it, and it might come,
yes,
and you can get in touch with me.
Yes, yes. Where are we? I've got a quarter past. But that was when you were saying, did you feel about them? I used to feel for her, if the telegrams didn't come or anything, I used to worry. But then so did George Noble. He worried about the lot of them. And he used to get desperately upset when things were not coming through as they should. He was a very, very caring... In fact, I think most of the chaps were, and I think Buckmaster was too, but then that's another story.
Yes,
but,
I will ask you about him later.
Oh, dear. No, we can't stop again, because I think,
yes.
Yeah, I'm again a bit upset.
Yes, I think we will stop, because
yes,
that's quite okay.
Is it?
And this will be the end of Reel 4.
Yes.
Just don't worry, Elizabeth.
Yes.
That's absolutely perfect.